Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Keon. So, Keon, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. My name is Keon. I'm currently in Los Angeles, California. I'm a student at USC, and I'm also launching a startup called Brave. We're making vibrating smart bracelets to help prevent sexual assault on college campuses.
Awesome. So, how did you get the idea to launch this startup?
You know what? It really started with witnessing like how impactful the problem is. I'm actually in a conference room right now.
Yeah.
So might be a class that's coming in here. I might have to move locations. But I said, I started with having a lot of friends that were dealing with sexual assault and getting to college and realizing that the actual statistic is a lot higher than a reported statistic, which is 1 in 4 women in college getting sexually assaulted every year. And at my school in particular, there was some number like 1 in 3. And that was absolutely crazy. So you're telling me if you send 3 daughters to USC, there's a very high chance that one of them's going to experience sexual assault. And then just like coming into college, experiencing Greek life and seeing how much shit hits the fan once young adults and alcohol are mixing. And so I realized that something needed to be done. And that's where the idea of the Brave Band came in.
So can you talk more about the band? Like what exactly... you mentioned obviously it's something that is symbolizing standing up against sexual assault, but like what exactly like is I guess the purpose behind it per se?
Sure. So the way it works is a group of friends would wear the bracelets before they go out to a party or an event near campus. In the event that one of them gets separated from the group, is intoxicated, finds themselves in a bad situation, could be any number of reasons, but they just need their friends' help. They can tap the bracelet. It'll instantly vibrate their friends' bracelets and send their friends their exact location. So it's just a lifeline, and it's something that not only symbolizes sort of like a symbol of anti-sexual assault, it's also something that physically connects you to your friends so that you're never alone in those uncomfortable situations. If you're getting sick in a frat basement somewhere, don't know where you are. This just helps people that are at their most vulnerable get the help that they need. Because a lot of times, like there are campus resources, like the Department of Public Safety, there's RAs, and the campus, like a lot of universities are very safety conscious. However, these are all measures for one, something happens, right? There's not really anything that you can use to help prevent something from happening. Or a lot of times students are reluctant to use these resources if they're drinking, if they're underage, if they're using illicit substances. But under those circumstances, they're even more vulnerable. And so that's when they actually need the help. So it's just a discreet way for friends to stay connected.
Makes sense. So how does the technology work? Is it integrated with an iPhone or like, what does that look like?
That's a great question. That's what we're working on right now. So we're working on product developments, trying to make a really really good industry level MVP. So we're starting with Apple Watch software, and we already have the iPhone app ready to go. But eventually we're trying to make it so that we have our own proprietary hardware, and it uses Bluetooth, BLE, Bluetooth low energy to connect to other devices. And it'll function actually kind of similar to an Apple AirTag, or like a Tile, so that even if it's not connected to your network or to your phone, it could bounce around a signal on other devices until it reaches its final users. This is so that in the case that people's phones are off or they don't even take them when they go out, they can still stay safe and stay connected. But because of the gravity of the situation and because of how complex like this issue is, we're trying to be very careful and very thoughtful with how we design the product and before we actually deploy it to the testing phase. That's why it's taking us a bit longer to get off the ground.
Makes sense. So basically for you, it's not something that you're per se relying on someone to have an iPhone. It's they can have an Android and it can still work. The technology is going to be within the actual device itself. It's not going to be integrated with Apple or any other software like that.
Exactly. We're trying to focus on accessibility. So making it as easy to use and easy to get as possible. That's why even like our end customer, we're trying to target universities. So we're calling ourselves a B2B business so that it's at zero cost to the students. Nowadays, there's tons of smart bracelets, watches on the market. We're not really inventing anything new. We're just leveraging existing technology. And we're trying to make it in a way that even if a user has an Apple Watch or a Fitbit or anything like in that sector, they wouldn't have to adopt a new bracelet. They wouldn't have to wear like three different bracelets on their wrist to go out to party. They can just download the app and stay connected. It's also a great way for parents to stay connected as well with their students. If they live close by campus, just as a way to keep tabs, or not even keep tabs, but to be there once they know that something goes wrong.
So, are you an engineer yourself, or do you have like engineers working with you? Like, what does that look like for you?
So we're kind of scrappy, I'd say. I study biomedical engineering and a little bit of CS at USC. My other co-founders, one of them studies marketing at USC. She's more of like her business operations. And our other co-founder goes to Harvard and he studies CS. So we're all students and we're all trying to figure this out. I actually taught myself Swift over the summer to code it myself instead of trying to outsource it. So yeah, we're doing everything in it. Social media, product development. We also have a wealth of resources at USC and Harvard that are also helping us as well. But these resources are quite competitive because there's other like student startups that are already off the ground. They have hundreds of dollars worth of funding. And but it's good because this competition means that we really have to prove our concept and we have to get on top of our game in order to actually be viable and to receive and like win these competitions. So it's a double-edged sword. We see it as an opportunity for us to be better.
That's awesome. So have you raised money or are you guys bootstrapping this thing?
Right now we're bootstrapping it. We actually have to pay for our IP this upcoming Friday. And then we're planning on raising a seed round once we deploy the app and have testing and testimonials and a more feedback-informed design.
So you mentioned that it's a very competitive space. So how are you differentiating yourself from your competition?
Right. Well, among different startups at USC, we're taking the more social approach, right? This is a feel-good product. It's something that we honestly needed yesterday. And it's we're a team that's like really passionate and dedicated towards the mission. We have survivors on the team. And so it's really like a passion driven mission that's like fueling everything, pushing us past the obstacles. So it's really the reason like of why we're doing it that compels people, not necessarily all the other things that another startup might have. But in terms of like on the market, how we're differentiating ourselves, because there are existing products out there that also deal with sexual assault, which we commend and actually look up to. We don't see this competition because they're in a different market. So there's a product called Invisiware, brilliantly designed, genius founder. I think she was on Forbes 30 under 30. It took her 6 years to launch it. But this device it works in similar to a Brave Band. However, it doesn't connect to other hardware. So in the event that the urban woman goes out for a run or is on a blind date somewhere and it's going poorly, they can click the hardware. It's either a bracelet or a necklace, and it'll either contact authorities or text your five closest friends. They've also partnered with ADT. Where we're different is ours actually transmits the signal to other hardware that devices are sending. And so devices are sending and receiving signals at the same time versus just like a one-way communication. And their target market is mainly urban women. Ours is college students that go to like frat parties, music festivals, stuff like that.
Makes sense. So obviously, you know, with college students, there is a big emphasis always on fashion. So what does that look like in terms of making sure it's a fashionable product that people are actually going to want to wear?
Exactly. Well, that's why we're taking a very user-informed design process. So we're partnering with different clubs at USC, we're partnering with sororities at different schools, and making sure that whatever we end up with is something that people will wear.
That's awesome. So what would you say is the biggest challenge for you right now starting this company?
Product development. And it's funny, on paper, it really shouldn't be, but just trying to port the iPhone app to Apple Watch or like Watch OS has been quite challenging for us because nobody on the team has ever coded an Apple Watch app before. But the Apple Watch app right now is just an extension of the iPhone, right? It's literally just a button that you press and all the magic gets triggered and happens on the iPhone itself. So we have the hard part done. Just we expect it to take another month or month and a half for us to get a really decently coded watch OS app out there. But once we get that, we can deploy testing. We're also designing a testing program right now so that we can establish and like find out product market fit as soon as possible.
That's awesome. So obviously now in 2023 is the age of AI. So does AI play any role when it comes to your business?
As of right now, no. In the future, we're flirting with the idea of using AI to keep track of the alerts and like where they're sent so that we can try to create like a heat map of like which areas around a college campus have the highest rates of alerts. And of course, like not every alert will be related to sexual assault. Sometimes friends will just like be missing each other and like need to find each other. So to circumvent that, we're thinking about having a user upload which alerts were related to sexual assault or which alerts were related to like a really bad, dangerous situation anonymously. And that would be displayed on a heat map that a university could use to crack down, to put more restrictions on different houses or to put more security. But that's really far down the line.
That's awesome. So right now, your focus, or I guess like your vision for it, is more so the university would buy from you directly and then they would hand it out for free to their students. Is that correct?
Exactly. Either a university or a national sorority, organizations like that.
In terms of right now, what would you say is your top priority for the business in the next 3 to 6 months?
Discovering product market fit and really, having a user design process, trying to make it as effective, thoughtful and as simple as possible, making sure it's a really effective solution, really trying to narrow down and like focus on our value proposition and keeping people safe. That's always a priority. I think once we do that, everything else will follow suit.
No, I agree. I think it's like once the product's working, the other thing is like obviously the design, the fashion, it's like that's important too, but like the biggest thing, as you said, is making sure it actually works and that people who are using it are getting like the benefit out of it, you know, being able to get good results from using it, you know, saving lives and things of that sort.
Right. Keeping people safe and making sure that like going out isn't as like there isn't a stigma associated with it. Right. Like if you go to a frat party right now, you see a group of girls going out and one of them gets separated from the group. They're always like, well, make sure you call me before you go back. Like they treat it like going to war. Right. It's almost like they need to like constantly keep tabs on each other and make sure that like people get home safe.
Right. Exactly. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this company?
That's a great question. It's because I'm a first time founder and it's been a lot of chasing my own tail. And discovering what doesn't work, right? And sort of like reality will beat you down until you like learn the lesson well enough to change. That's all being a founder really is. It's just adapting. And so advice I would give myself a year ago would just be more specific, have more things in writing, like more contracts with co-founders, agreements with people that you work with, have clearly defined goals and a more clearly defined 18-month runway, revenue model, and just really double down on strategy and fundamentals and planning and make data informed decisions.
For sure. I think it's like when you're a founder, oftentimes you're, you know, trying to move quickly, but the data is very important. It's important to obviously trust your instinct, but also look and seeing kind of feedback and metrics that you're getting back from the user, right, your beta testers, or the people that you're working with directly.
Right. Definitely. I'd also say I'm a very leap before I look kind of person just in general. So that's afforded me like to make a lot of mistakes, but also to look back and learn from them as well.
100%. I mean, it's funny, like everybody we talk to, like everybody makes mistakes. And I think the most successful people are the ones that learn from them. You know, it's like somebody told me once that there's no such thing as a failed entrepreneur. It's entrepreneurs that just give up. So you have to keep being persistent. You have to
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. In my mind, I've actually learned this. And either this is a great illusion, but I truly believe that in the entrepreneurship world, it's not a matter of like the idea that matters, like, because ideas solve issues, right? It's really just comes down to the team, 100%. It's if the team has the endurance to see it through, to overcome all the obstacles, all the challenges, all the setbacks. If like the question becomes, how far can you sprint when the distance is unknown, right? And so me personally, I'm really into like endurance athletics. I did an Ironman in the spring semester. I'm training for the Badwater 130 coming up next year in July. And for me, it's a bunch of like mental training that just gives you the endurance to see something out.
Awesome. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Brave Band?
That's a great question. So by a year from now, we definitely have testing over and done with. We'd be funded and we'd have a contract with a university or two. And we're actually, the objective goal is to see statistics drop as a result of the implementation of a Brave Band on a student campus, to see that students are feeling safer when they go out and it's actually preventing shit from hitting the fan. It's actually preventing sexual assault, and it's actually making going out a more inclusive environment, and it removes the stigma and it keeps Greek life more accountable and it keeps universities more accountable as well. We see ourselves making a lot of strategic partnerships with large corporate brands that would help us with design, that would help us also, it would also show like a visible commitment towards positive social change on their end. But bottom line is reducing statistics and making people feel more comfortable when they go out.
Amazing. Yeah, I was in a fraternity and I know for a fact that this would be a huge win for Greek life all around. I mean, to your point, right, there's a negative stigma associated with it. But if it can, you know, help change that perspective, if it can help, you know, people to understand, you know, what's wrong, what's right, you know, keeping people accountable, it'll totally be a huge difference maker.
Totally. And I was actually, I started a fraternity at USC as well. And so I was a president for a few weeks. And I sort of like learned the ins and outs of Greek life. And there is a budget for this at the national level. And at least I learned that there are positions that they employ people that they're basically just like fire extinguishers. Their job is to like smooth things over and fly out to different universities wherever problems might occur. And so this just would just keep them more socially responsible and help them police their own organization and make it more comfortable and welcoming, right? Because everybody wants more attendance. Everybody wants more more recruitment. This is just a way that people can use to show that we're a safe place and we can still have fun. Yeah.
No. Yeah. To your point. Yeah. There are definitely people at every national, you know, fraternity in charge of risk management. It's a very important thing.
Exactly. What house were you in?
I was in AE Pi.
Oh, crazy. I was in AE Pi at Lehigh before I transferred. Yeah. At least I was like going through their new member recruitment and then COVID hit. I transferred to USC and then I started my own house.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I was in AE. Like I was in at Wisconsin, Milwaukee. It was a very small chapter. But yeah, I mean, it's even at schools where Greek life is not that big, and there's always, you know, even there, it's even more so. I mean, we had a big issue where people didn't understand what Greek life was all about. It's not like a typical type of school. And I think if you have a, you know, kind of the safety first approach, it's really going to change the minds of faculty and especially.
Exactly. Because it honestly comes across as culty. Greek life is very culty.
Right.
I've learned this at all these different schools from my own personal experience. Administration hates it at every school I've encountered, but it brings in a lot of donors, right? And so it's there for a reason. And even like right now, a lot of frats disassociated from the university and they're doing their own thing because of the university, like trying to impose different restrictions. I think like there's definitely a huge opportunity for collaboration and cooperation. What that looks like is unknown, but the Brave Band is definitely a step in that direction.
Yeah, for sure. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or the best way to get in contact with you?
Sure. The best way to get in contact with me personally would be my email. It's going to be kian@braveband.tech. That's kian@braveband.tech. And my website is just braveband.tech as well. Yeah.
Are you guys like on social media, like Instagram, TikTok?
Yeah. So our Instagram is, let me double check. I think it's just brave.band. Yeah. brave.band. Follow us on Instagram. We're going to be making content soon. We're actually starting a podcast with an activist in LA. She's also 22. She helped pass 2 bills in Congress. She's working on another bill to help survivors. She makes really social commentary films on her own. She's a producer, model, activist. She also might go to law school in Columbia in the fall, depending on her interests. But yeah, just her name is Sabrina Lasagna, absolute amazing human being. But the objective with the podcast is to shed light on what college life really is like. And basically like our personal experiences in Greek life, social life in college, and to make people feel like they're not alone, to show them that they really aren't alone. Because like a lot of times there's a lot of stigma associated with talking about sexual assault, talking about going out. So this is a way for us to show that there is a community, that there's support, and that,
that's amazing. Well, Keon, thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully in a year from now we can chat again. Totally. As your company keeps growing.
It was great to meet you, honestly, and I'll have to send a message to Kasim. Really impressive with his persistence. Honestly, yeah. I learned a lot of lessons. But it was great to meet you. We'll stay in touch.
Sounds great. Thanks, Keon.
Take care.
Thanks. All right, bye.